Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome. I am delighted to be with all of you right now. Excuse me for just a second. My phone is, for some reason, making a very loud noise. I don't know why this thing does that. It's like every day there's a new technological challenge, but that's okay because, as it is with technology, sometimes it's little things that that mount up. Good morning, Jenny. Welcome. I can see, excuse me, a few of your comments right now, and hopefully the sound is actually coming through to you. Anyway, welcome. I'm glad that you are here. I'm glad that I am here. It is, what is it, August 27th, Thursday. Boy, yesterday was a whirlwind. Lots and lots of things going on for me. I don't know if it was that case or that way for you, but nevertheless, here we are together. Thursday is before us. And yes, I am in my chair. That's right. It's the only piece of furniture I picked out for this house. A man needs a good chair. Ladies, I hope that the men in your life have a good chair and that you have recognized that fact. And the men that are watching, I hope that you have a good chair because there's nothing quite like it. Anyway, welcome. I'm glad that you are here, whether you are here with me. Oh, thank you, Christine. I'm glad that it sounds fine. But I'm glad that you're here, whether you are here with me live right now, or maybe you'll be with me later on today or tomorrow or this year or next year or next century. I don't know. I hope that the Lord doesn't tarry so long. Hopefully Jesus comes back long before the next century. But if he should, and if you find this somewhere cataloged, hopefully this material is still legal for you to watch, given the way things are going right now. I don't know. It's been interesting as we look back on history, and it may be interesting to see what the future holds, but nevertheless, we can take hope, we can take heart, we can have hope, because we know that the Lord is in charge. Now, with that, I want to start out today. Remember where we left off yesterday was in Judges 14, and we met Samson for the first time, and we're in a very odd mix. Remember back in chapter 13, verse 5, remember what was promised to Samson's parents, that Samson would begin to deliver Israel. Samson isn't promised to be the deliverer of Israel. It would be some time before the deliverer of Israel would come. And it wouldn't be to Manoah and to Manoah's wife. It would be to a virgin named Mary and her betrothed named Joseph. And it would be in Bethlehem some years after this. But Samson was a deliverer, and he would start delivering Israel. And so with that thing in mind, the idea that Samson would start delivering Israel, that we entered into Samuel's story, or not Samuel, Samson. Samson's story yesterday. Sorry, I've got my mind on my Sunday morning sermon. It's dangerous when you're preaching on Samuel on Sunday morning and Samson throughout the week. But nevertheless, Samson would begin to deliver Israel. And it's important to keep that in mind because we come to a strange mix today. A very strange mix. What we saw yesterday out of Samson was this one who the Lord had said he's going to begin to deliver Israel. But at the same time, we start seeing that God's deliverer has some serious flaws. We saw it yesterday with Samson, that he did not honor his father and his mother. And as a result, after reading Ephesians 6, which is quoting Exodus chapter 20, from the commandment, we saw that Samson did not honor his father and his mother. And as we're going to see today, it is not going to go well with him or for him. But this is an odd mix, y'all, because even though we saw that Samson did not honor his father and his mother, we learned yesterday from chapter 14 that the Lord was going to use this. Remember what Samson did? He demanded that his father go and get a wife for him, this particular girl that he saw that was a Philistine. His parents said, whoa, wait a second. And of course I'm paraphrasing here. No translation says it this way. But paraphrasing, his parents said to him, isn't there a woman from among our relatives that's good enough? Different time, y'all. Different time. Keep that in mind. But they said, isn't a woman among our relatives good enough for you? Or a woman among all of Israel? Isn't she good enough for you? And of course Samson said, in very plain words, and you could almost see him say it through clenched teeth, get her for me. He wasn't concerned about his parents. Later on, we would see that he would feed them honey that they weren't supposed to eat, and he would take a step in breaking his own vow. That's beside the point. We see flaws in Samson very early on. And we're going to see today that because he did not honor his father and his mother, it's not going to go well for him. In fact, he's going to face certain heartache. But, y'all, what we see also today is a small beginning. We see the small start that even though it doesn't go well for Samson, and even though this is a painful lesson for Samson to learn, nevertheless, God is going to use this situation to start his deliverance of his people. And I want you to keep in mind something, because what we see today is relatively small. 30 men. 30 men. Zechariah 4:10. You know who Zechariah is? Zechariah is the prophet. Read the book of Zechariah sometime. It's not a long book. This is after God's people have been in captivity. They're returning to Israel. Zechariah is centered on the rebuilding of the temple, yes, but at the same time, it really focuses on the Lord's deliverance of Israel. There are many prophecies about Christ, but he said this, and I've got the NIV. Verse 10 of Zechariah chapter 4 says, "Who despises the day of small things? Men will rejoice when they see the plumb line in the hands of Zerubbabel." All right, now, another translation says, "Do not despise the day of small beginnings." They're both good translations because they both point to the same thing. In other words, Zechariah here is talking about a plumb line. Now, y'all, I am not a carpenter by any stretch of the imagination. Really and truly, I have a father-in-law that is excellent at fixing things, and whenever he comes up here, I usually get him to fix stuff for me. I'm just not. I wish I were. I'm handy in other ways, but not that way. And if you have any knowledge of construction, you know that a plumb line is a very preliminary piece of equipment to use, because the plumb line really shows you whether or not a wall is as it should be in terms of it being level, in terms of it standing upright, and not just a wall, but anything that you're trying to make level. You want to make sure that the footing is right, and a plumb line can be used for that. All right. And what Zechariah is talking about here is that when it comes time to use the plumb line, even though that means that you're right at the start, you will rejoice over seeing the fact that construction has begun. You ever had a situation like that in your life where you have anticipated something and it just can't seem to get started? Then finally, when the very first hint of that thing begins to happen, doesn't it fill you with joy? Because this thing that you have been looking forward to, this, or maybe it's a thing that you are dreading, and sorry about the light, the sun just came up over the Blue Ridge behind me or over the trees behind my house. Nevertheless, where this thing that you have been anticipating or maybe even dreading, it's finally starting. Finally! And you see the first little glimmer that something is happening. And that in itself should not be despised, because it's pointing to the larger thing that is taking place. Y'all, that's what Zechariah said about the rebuilding of Jerusalem and the temple and the rebuilding of God's kingdom there. But the same can be said of Judges chapter 14, where we are today. Where we left off yesterday was really not too long after what Samson had done with his parents there, again, feeding them this honey that he got from the lion's carcass. But we saw a hint of God's power. Judges 14 verse 6 says, "The Spirit of the Lord came upon him," talking about Samson, "in power, so that he tore the lion apart with his bare hands, as he might have torn apart a young goat." This is a hint of God's power working through Samson. This is not a small thing. All right. Now, technically speaking, when you're saving an entire nation of people from an invading conqueror, what's one lion? It is small. But in terms of human strength, y'all, we realize that with Samson, this isn't about his strength anymore. It's the Spirit of the Lord working in him. Well, fast forward. Let's go to verse 10. Remember, like we talked about before, Samson demanded that his father arrange this marriage with this Philistine woman. Verse 10, it says, and this is Judges 14, verse 10. Now his father went down to see the woman, and Samson made a feast there, as was customary for bridegrooms. When he appeared, he was given 30 companions. Let me tell you a riddle. This is verse 12. Let me tell you a riddle, Samson said to them. If you can give me the answer within the 7 days of the feast, I will give you 30 linen garments and 30 sets of clothes. If you can't tell me the answer, you must give me 30 linen garments and 30 sets of clothes. Tell us your riddle, they said. Let's hear it. All right, so do you get the paradigm here? Samson knows the woman. The idea that he was given 30 companions, these are like 30 attendants given to Samson, right? And this is really him making his entrance into the Philistine culture, into this Philistine family that he is marrying into. Remember, marriage was not just about love and attraction. Marriage was a contractual obligation. It was a contractual agreement. In essence, this isn't even just Samson. This is Samson's family being linked to this other family. And so these 30 men are given to Samson as attendants. Now, Samson, why does he do this? Is this pride? Is this a show of force, a show of cunning? I think it is. And the reason I think it is in a moment or two, we're going to see that the Spirit of the Lord rushed on Samson. I don't think this is the Spirit of the Lord working in Samson right now. I think this is the flesh working in Samson right now. I think this is just Samson being the Samson that we've already seen a glimmer of him being. So there's the paradigm. He says, I'm going to tell you guys a riddle. If you figure it out in 3 days, then I will give you 30 sets of clothes, including linen underwear. All right, this is an expensive prospect here, y'all. All right, this is not cheap stuff that we're dealing with. And sets of clothing were very valuable. People didn't have closets full of clothing like we have today, not normally. All right, so that's the paradigm. But he says, if you don't figure it out, then you got to give me 30 sets of clothing. Y'all, 30 sets of clothing. Of fine linen clothing. This is like the stuff of kings here that Samson would have at his disposal if they can't guess his riddle. So, that's the paradigm. That's what's been laid down. Again, the end of verse 13. Tell us your riddle, they said. Let's hear it. He replied, out of the eater, something to eat. Out of the strong, something sweet. For 3 days, they could not give the answer. All right. Y'all know the answer to this riddle, don't you? Because we have the inside track. We know what Samson has done with this line, that he's torn this line apart. We know that bees set up a hive inside the line sometime later. We know that Samson got the honey out of it, even though he wasn't supposed to touch anything dead or have any dealings with carcasses. He still does it anyway. And he dishonors his parents by breaking kosher law with them. Nevertheless, he does all of these things, and only he knows. Remember, because he kept all of this secret. But now he tells this riddle, and isn't it a crafty riddle? He's got to be telling this thinking, there's no way on earth anybody would know about this. Nobody knew that he tore the lion apart. It's just by happenstance that somebody would come across something like this. So he thinks he's got it made. Verse 15, on the fourth day, they said to Samson's wife, coax your husband into explaining the riddle for us, or we will burn you and your father's household to death. Did you invite us here to rob us? Ah, Samson's wife. Y'all, sometimes it's not even about you. Sometimes it's about you mixing with the wrong people. Now, Samson's wife, how much of a hand did she have to play in Samson taking a fancy to her? I don't know. It's entirely possible that Samson barely even knew the woman, that he saw her and he wanted her. Looking forward to King David, that happens with men sometimes. And it's very rare when a man is not thinking right that he makes A-grade decisions. Samson did not make an A-grade decision. Again, what is he doing going after a Philistine woman, y'all? Again, the Lord's going to use it. But nevertheless, this woman, his new wife, is between a rock and a hard place. These Philistines that have been brought in for the wedding feast, they've said, did you bring us in here to rob us? Figure out the answer to this riddle, or there's going to be problems for you and your family. Everybody's going to die. The Philistines were a ruthless people, if you haven't figured that out already. Okay? Nevertheless, that's where she's at. Verse 16. Then Samson's wife threw herself on him, sobbing, "You hate me. You don't really love me. You've given my people a riddle, but you haven't told me the answer." The Philistine people are not only ruthless, they're cunning. And isn't it fascinating that some things never change? Now, gents that are watching this, does your wife ever put one of these on you? If you really loved me, you would fill in the blank. I have a wonderful wife. She does not do that to me by God's grace. All right. But men, has that ever happened to you? If so, you would know that's a tricky spot to be in. And ladies, this is a side note. All right. Just a very swift application here. Don't do this. And men, don't do it to your wife either. Don't fall into this thing of saying, "Well, if you really loved me, then you would give me my way." Because the converse of that is, if you really loved your spouse, then you wouldn't be making such demands on them. The idea of biblical love is submission to one another, putting the other person first. Alright? So, don't do that. That's what she does to Samson. The verse continues there in the second part of verse 16. "I haven't explained it to my father or mother," Samson replied, "so why should I explain it to you?" She cried the whole 7 days of the feast. On the seventh day, he finally told her. Because she continued to press him, she in turn explained the riddle to her people. Before sunset, on the seventh day, the men of the town said to him, "What is sweeter than honey? What is stronger than a lion?" Samson said to them. Or they said to Samson. Now Samson said to them, "If you had not plowed with my heifer, you would not have solved my riddle." Ouch! Oh, Samson is not just muscles, y'all. Samson is quick. Again, all of this shows east is east and west is west. This eastern mindset, very cunning, very slight. Their answer to the riddle, again, what is sweeter than honey? What is stronger than a lion? In other words, it's very clear that they know the answer, and they know it in all of its fullness. And Samson's reply, now this is Samson the newlywed, having just been married. "If you had not plowed with my heifer, you would not have solved my riddle." And y'all, most certainly, this is double entendre here. This is not just a turn of phrase, and I don't mean to be terse, and I don't mean to be off color. But when he talks about plowing with his heifer, he's not talking about agricultural work. There is an implication, an accusation built into this. And the application or the implication there is that his wife very clearly had been unfaithful to him, not only in telling the riddle, but he suggests in other ways as well. Now, this is the fascinating thing. If you stop at verse 18, we see that children obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And we see the consequence of it not going well with you, so that it may go well with you. That promise is given there in the commandment. But we see the application here of what it looks like when you don't honor your father and your mother, and life not going well with you. Because what has Samson got at this point? He's got a wife that he demanded that very clearly has betrayed him. At a minimum, she has betrayed him and cost him, at this moment, lots and lots of material possessions. She has betrayed his trust, and again, the suggestion here is that she may have betrayed their marriage bed. Alright? That's what Samson has gotten for his brashness and for dishonoring his father and his mother. But y'all, this is the intersection of where we see the beginnings of the Lord's deliverance. Where God doesn't condone what Samson did, but at the same time, God is going to use what Samson did. How? Verse 19. Then the Spirit of the Lord rush upon Samson in power. He went down to Ashkelon, struck down 30 of their men, stripped them of their belongings, and threw the clothes to those who had explained the riddle. Burning with anger, he went up to his father's house, and Samson's wife was given to a friend who had attended him at his wedding. So how does this story end for Samson? It ends with him losing his wife, the one that he just married. But what did God do? Remember yesterday I talked about the turn of phrase in the Hebrew. Whenever it talks about, and he went down unto, it's never a good thing. Four different times in chapter 14 it talks about Samson going down to. And it's like Samson is sinking lower and lower and lower. But finally at the end of the chapter, he went up to his father's house. And we see also that it's not lions that are being torn apart. It's Philistines. As we read from Zechariah 4, do not despise the day of small beginnings, for the men will rejoice when they see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand. Y'all, these 30 men, those small, Philistia was a vast nation. What are 30 Philistines? Well, the 30 Philistines here are the plumb line. Things are not going well for Samson, personally. But God is using these things nonetheless to start his deliverance. There's two messages here for us. Number one, don't run from the Lord. Don't rebel against the Lord, because life doesn't go well when you do. But number two, God in his sovereignty is strong enough and mighty enough to use our situations to work good nonetheless. But guess what, y'all? We don't get the credit for that, because that's God working not because of us, but in spite of us. Obey the Lord first. And if it doesn't sit well with you, and I'm going to say this and then we're done. If it doesn't sit well with you that Samson, acting out of anger, can rip 30 men to pieces, and then he steals their clothes and their belongings, and he throws them at the feet of these other men. If it doesn't sit right with you, and if you say, wait a second, that's not the Lord, that's just Samson acting out of anger. Remember the preface to him doing this. He did this after the Spirit of the Lord had rushed on him. And this makes people uncomfortable. It makes people uncomfortable because it almost makes us want to say, wait a second, that doesn't sound like God. That's not the kind of thing that God does. Well, rewind to Ehud. Is the kind of thing that God does, sending a left-handed man to pay tribute to a king, and then he whispers to the king, I have a message from the Lord for you, and then he stabs him? That doesn't sound like the kind of thing God does either. It doesn't sound like the kind of thing that God would do to kill a bunch of men with an ox goad, does it? It doesn't sound like the kind of thing that God would do, that Gideon would go and tear down altars in the middle of night because he's afraid of the townspeople. All of these things, y'all, the book of Judges doesn't sound a whole lot like our modern Western mindset of who God ought to be and how God ought to bring deliverance. But you know, when the Lord brings deliverance in a wicked world, things get messy. It doesn't sound like God would kill the firstborn of every Egyptian, does it? But he did that too. It doesn't sound like after the people would be in revelry surrounding a golden calf, that Moses would come down and break the Ten Commandments. God did that. And you know, we know about Moses coming down from the mountain and throwing down the tablets, but people forget about the part right after that where he took off his cloak and he strapped on a sword. And he and the Levites went through and killed every man they saw. And then to those that they didn't kill, he broke up the golden calf into dust, scattered it on water, and made the rest of the Israelites drink it. That doesn't sound like the kind of thing God would do. But y'all, we need to be real careful that our perception of God does not put him in a box that cannot possibly hold him. It may make us feel uncomfortable that the Lord's Spirit rushed on Samson and he tore 30 men apart and stole their clothes. But y'all, when the Lord brings deliverance again, sometimes it's messy. Not only with Samson in Judges, but sometimes in your life too. Let this be a warning to us. Don't put the Lord to the test. Obey first and avoid that need for deliverance, for the Lord to work not because of our situation and because of our choices, but in spite of our choices. With that in mind, let's pray. Our Father, we thank you so much for your patience and your long suffering, your grace and your mercy. Forgive us for the times that we have run from you. Help us to learn from Samson, first from his brashness, from his anger, from his poor decisions. But also help us to learn from this story that you can work. No matter what happens, you can and you will work. We are so grateful for your strength and for your power. Help us to seek your face. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'd like to thank everybody for being a part of this time with me. I'm glad that you were here with me. Lord willing, I will be back tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. to round out the week. Until then, I hope you all have a wonderful Thursday, or whatever day it happens to be.